Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 3 of E4 2019. I'm Tommy Jamie sitting over there. And this show is going to focus on the Microsoft presser. So excited about that. Before we jump into that, I've got a little bit of a story to tell. We're a bit behind, and so let me briefly, we usually don't get off on these E3 episodes all that much, but I think this one's worth at least mentioning really briefly. The plan was to do this show and coverage and everything yesterday after the Microsoft event happened, but my house got hit with like a freak thunderstorm out of nowhere and severely limited our ability to do some stuff, and so I was without power for a while, but glad to have that back.
This was not an hour thing. I had a blast. I was having a good time over here.
Sure.
And you had some, like, probably some random text when you got back, because I was, like, watching stuff and jumping up and down, and holy Keanu Reeves. It was a good day, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you're alive, although you might be a little bit sore.
Yeah, so I spent the afternoon, thank you for rubbing that in, chopping branches and trees that fell down all around my house with no air conditioning. So, it was a good time. To be fair, power came back on about 8 o'clock last night, which was a blessing. We, again, didn't expect power maybe for a couple of days. And so we're holding on to hope, crossing our fingers that it doesn't go out again anytime soon, which is totally possible. So we're going to push through and try to get this done. But if we don't, if you get like half a show and then there's like some awkward edit, that's probably why. Chopping branches, not the most fun in the world.
No, not at all. Especially you're thinking to yourself, it's E3. This is not supposed to happen. Right. And it did. So there you go.
There you go. Anyway, we've got the Microsoft press conference to talk about, so we'll go through all the details with it. There's obviously a bunch of details with it, but just to get started, I want to hear your opinions on it.
Dude, I texted you and said Microsoft wins, which is basically the way I feel, and it's. Before everybody freaks out, the reason they win is one very, very simple thing. And we talked about it lots for the last 6 months, and it came true. Game Pass wins everything. And my reasoning for that is that this is assuming that they get their crappy software figured out, this is the way you do games as a service. So let's talk about that first, I would think.
Yeah, go ahead. Expand more.
So here's the deal. They basically brought out Game Pass for PC users, which is really cool. 100+ games for $5 a month, which I like a lot, and I immediately signed up. First month is $1. I immediately signed up to look and see what they had. We got Gears, the Anniversary Edition. We got Gears 4, Gears 5, Metro Exodus, ReCore. We've got lots and lots and lots of good Microsoft stuff, and it's all available immediately. assuming you have good internet, which I don't.
Yeah.
So there's that.
That is all fair. So a couple of things on that. Obviously, something like Gears 5 isn't on there yet because Gears 5 isn't here yet. But
well,
Microsoft is bringing their first party stuff to Game Pass, which is cool when it launches.
Let me reiterate. It is already on the service. And they're saying will be available immediately.
Ooh, sure. But you can't play
it.
It's not a game that's out there at this point. And to be honest, I mean, it's a good slate of games. I paid for it. I just, like, 20 minutes ago, because I have fast internet and it's handy, I just downloaded ReCore and I just fired it up off the service and everything seamless so far, which is fantastic. I'm right. Totally 100% bought in with this as well. But let me make a couple points on it, because there are holes in it. The good stuff that they're going to have, one side of it I'm thrilled about, and I love, is that so much of the indie stuff is on Game Pass. And you know how I feel about the kind of indie stuff.
Yes.
And people listening to the show forever know how I feel about that stuff. And so that side of it, I'm geeked about. I'm paying $5 a month for that and nothing else. Like, if you didn't have all of the first-party Microsoft stuff there, I'm doing that already. Outside of first-party Microsoft stuff, there's not a ton of, you know, release day AAA kind of content. And there's not a ton of Microsoft first-party AAA stuff. Gears, obviously, is a huge deal. I'm pumped about the Master Chief Collection on there.
But
a lot of the stuff that they showed at the press conference that we're going to be hyped about here in just a little bit isn't going to be stuff that's on Game Pass, which is totally fine. This is a minor knock on a $5 a month service. The price point is amazing. The games that they already have on there are definitely worth $5 a month. Like, I'm just like, oh, I want to play that. I want to play that. I want to play that. It's a really, really killer service. I'm
now
impressed. It's not everything. That's the one thing that I want to stress, is there's plenty missing off of it. And there's a lot more on the console version of it than there is on the PC version of it. But the fact that it's on PC is phenomenal.
The question that I have about it personally is, it's $5 a month if you don't want Xbox Live.
Right.
They have it bundled with Xbox Live and the console version. You get it all for $15 a month, which I thought, okay, I don't need the console version. I'll just do the $5. And then I'm looking at all the games, which a good portion of them have co-op, and I'm thinking, yeah, we probably need Live for that. So,
yeah, I am curious about that. I don't know how that works on the PC.
I think we're probably going to end up paying for the $15 version, which kind of sucks, because if you're going to offer the $5 package, you need to be able to play co-op.
Yeah,
I would think.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that. I'm going to see if I can find an answer for that right now. That is a good question, whether or not you will need Live. So here's Sea of Thieves, which is another one of those games on there. According to this, to play Sea of Thieves, theoretically, this is before the Game Pass for PC launch. But according to that, you didn't need an Xbox Live subscription to play that online. So that would be the one to check, I suppose, because, like, obviously that's a heavily online game. And so I might try to download that during the show. We'll find out if it works or not.
The reason I brought the co-op up is because Gears is co-op.
Absolutely.
We could play Gears co-op, which is what I'm excited about.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
And so, yeah, I whether that's something we're going to find out immediately, because if we have to have Live to play co-op, that's a necessary part of this service.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. We'll find out. Like I said, I'll try to play with this a little bit during the show and see if we know from there. So, but I agree. For me, that's the most exciting thing from the most exciting like real thing from the Microsoft presser. And I'll explain more about what I mean by that as we go through. But let's just start at the top really quick and just work through it because I think there's a lot to talk about here. The good and the very Microsofty nature of this. Overall, I agree. I think it was good. I liked it. Microsoft's benefiting from Sony not being there this year. They kind of get that side of the attention, and they did a decent job, I think, of capitalizing on that. Though I do have
they didn't destroy it.
Yeah,
but the Game Pass thing was like, yes, what you had to do, and because you did that thing. In my mind, you win. The rest is just gravy.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine us seeing anything from Nintendo, for instance, that's going to change our minds. Definitely. We'll see what happens. So let's talk about it. They start off with a new trailer for the Outer Worlds, which still looks incredibly fun. Like, it gave us a little bit more of an idea about the game. Still not a lot. But we know it's coming this year, which is something that yes. A lot of these games aren't. And so the fact that it's coming in October is pretty exciting.
It's going to be awesome. I think I will suck at it because the gameplay that they showed was faster than I anticipated.
Yes.
And I'm not looking forward to that, but
yeah, that's fair. Let me already let me talk about one of my complaints about the press conference because I think that's a good point you bring it up there. We saw basically no gameplay in this thing, right? Like, what game did we see any significant gameplay in? We saw lots and lots of trailers that some of them had some gameplay elements to the trailers, but we didn't see really anybody playing a game or even a demo. Like, I don't care about like somebody standing on stage with a controller in their hand. Like, that's all well and good or whatever. Like, I don't need it to be a live demo, but I do like seeing gameplay of some of these, and we saw almost none.
Yeah, and that is not just a Microsoft problem. That was a whole day yesterday, and we'll talk about that later. That's not something that we saw anywhere yesterday, which is very, very disappointing at this point.
It is. And kudos to EA, who actually did a good chunk of it during their EA Play thing. And so, yeah, that's a bummer. And we'll talk more about why that's a bummer as we get to a lot of these other games that are really, really exciting. After that, Ninja Theory came out. We knew from last year that Ninja Theory is now under Microsoft. We got another big acquisition bit of news later in this show. They showed off this game called Bleeding Edge. That's a 4v4 melee thing. It didn't really do anything for me. Do anything for you?
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
It's fine. It's whatever. After that, they got me because they showed Ori and the Will of the Wisps. And that just looks fantastic. And that is a day one on Game Pass game. And so that right there is, for me, enough of a reason to have Game Pass.
Let's go back to this just for a second. The thing with Game Pass, and I spent the better part of yesterday thinking about this, having Game Pass doesn't mean I'm going to get through more games. It doesn't mean I'm going to finish more games. What it means is something like Ori comes out or new Halo. Let's say the new Halo comes out on Game Pass. And we can get it day one. We can sample it on this show and talk to you guys about it. And it doesn't cost us a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a huge deal.
It's brilliant. It's just the best. Yeah, I'll play Ori and the Will of the Wisps the day it comes out, which I might have anyway. I would have paid for that game on its own.
Yes.
But now I won't. And that's really exciting. At least I'm pretty sure that's true about Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Now I'm questioning myself, but I'm pretty sure that's true, that it's going to be a Game Pass title. So after that was a Minecraft game that I actually kind of wanted to play. It's Minecraft Dungeons, which is a dungeon crawler version of Minecraft that's like 4-player. It says it's couch co-op or online. That's just like a dungeon crawler, like the top-down dungeon crawler. It actually looks pretty cool.
We are not adults. But I would play this with you. I'd play this with my niece.
Yeah.
We're not adults, and I don't even care.
Yeah. Yeah. Just looks cool. Just looks fun. And that's, it's not the creation side of Minecraft, which is the thing that you and I have never really done on any game, Minecraft or otherwise. It's just like killing things, which we definitely can get into in video games. So, after that, we had Phil come out for a bit. We'll get back to newsy stuff with Phil, but right now we're focused on games. And then a world premiere for a Blair Witch game, which is not something that I would have ever guessed.
Rewind to 1998. Thank you very much. I have no idea. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, that was cool when it happened. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, it was, like, the Blair Witch Project, when it came out, was, like, this cultural sensation. Like, it was a massive thing, and you and I are old enough to remember that. I remember going and seeing it in the theater and it being a whole big thing. But then it kind of just, like, was gone, you know? And then, like, Cloverfield came out and kind of, you know, did the whole, like, shaky cam handheld thing, which I loved Cloverfield, too. Like, I thought Cloverfield was great. But, like, it's still just not something that, like, I feel like we need a ton of. And this isn't even that gimmick, you know? Like, it's, I don't know. I don't have any desire for a Blair Witch game. I'm sure there will be people excited about it, but just kind of blew my mind that that was there. But then we get the thing that everybody's talking about, the big eventy kind of, it's not newsy, there's some definite news in here, but the big spectacle of the Microsoft show, which was a new Cyberpunk 2077 trailer. It was about 4 minutes long. It's great, go watch it. It's fantastic. I'm still incredibly pumped about that game. But then the very end of the trailer, and you alluded to this earlier, we see a character kind of from the waist down. Then as he squats down and the camera pans up, we see that it is Keanu Reeves in-game in Cyberpunk 2077, which in and of itself is fantastically fun and cool. And then Keanu actually comes out on stage at the Microsoft press event, and it's about as like fired up as I think I've ever seen an E3 crowd. People were pumped about Keanu.
Two things. We love Keanu Reeves. Absolutely. We always have. Bill and Ted and The Matrix. Yep. and all that jazz. And I don't know if you've seen John Wick. John Wick is fantastic.
Yeah.
I've been catching up on those. And since he started John Wick, I've been sort of following that guy. I don't know if you know this, but because of all the training and stuff that he has done for The Matrix and John Wick, that dude is a legitimate bad dude at this point.
Yeah.
And he's just a cool guy. And so, like, I'm watching the trailer, and we're going along, and it's Cyberpunk, and it's all cool, and I'm thinking, I want to play this. And then we get to that point, and it does the camera pan, and I'm going, okay, is that Jesus from The Walking Dead? And then he says, whatever he says, and my mind kind of explodes, and I'm thinking, Keanu? And it can't be. and then he comes out, and I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you why it's cool, it just kind of is.
Yeah.
And I like it a lot. And the other thing is, like, he was not scripted at all.
Yeah.
Like, he tried to be scripted, and then he was like, screw it, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I just dug it.
Yeah, I agree.
It's really cool.
I love seeing him, like, not in movies, you know, like on late night shows or in canned moments or even something like this. Because, like, his persona in so many of his movies, like, especially, like, The Matrix, but, that, like, even, like, a lot of the just ridiculous over-the-top action stuff that he's done has always been as this really, like, stoic, like, just straight-faced whatever, you know? Like, he's just got this kind of thing about him after Bill and Ted that just always feels like it's the same dude. And he's so animated and so, like, geeky excitable in real life that I just love it. Like, he just is, like, the polar opposite of what, like, Neo is or whatever, you know? Like, he's just got this vibe to him that came out that was totally, like, his personality there that I really, really like. He just seems like a fun dude that just, like, likes life, and that's a good thing. And John Wick has been awesome for him, obviously. The Matrix was awesome for him too, but he's really kind of gone up and down in, like, you know, where he is in kind of popular culture over the years, you know, like, just the fact that he's also the guy from all these ridiculous action flicks that are stupid and over the top or whatever, and yet is still, like, 30 years later, like, really cool and, like, really seemingly down to earth and part of entertainment now in video games as well. I'm thrilled to see this character in Cyberpunk 2077. And I wouldn't do that for most celebrities. Like, most celebrities, this would be something I kind of went, and winced at. I don't know what it is about Keanu Reeves. Like, he's one I'm like, oh, yeah, I see that. Like, he makes sense in this world, and I'm excited to see what they do with him.
I will tell you what it is. I don't know if you know about him. You should Google this, but he has a custom motorcycle business where he builds very, very, very high-end custom motorcycles for anybody that can pay for them, and they don't build multiples of whatever he builds. If he builds one for somebody, that's it.
Yeah.
And so when I saw him in the game, I thought, we're going to end up on one of his bikes. And that's going to be awesome.
That would be cool.
Like, that's way cool.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. The other big bit of news that we got about Cyberpunk is we also have a release date, which is a big, big deal. It's April 16th. So actually 10 months away, which I'm jacked about too. This is the game I'm most excited about.
I'm telling you right now, day after my 41st birthday, you have 10 months to figure it out. I don't ask you to do a lot, but that week, you are taking the entire week off. We are locking ourselves in a room. I don't know where the little girl is going to go, and we have to have her somewhere close by, but we're not talking to anybody that week.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I'm sorry to ask you this, but that's what's happening.
Yeah, good luck with that. But I can't wait. It's going to be phenomenal. And so hopefully, maybe it is a huge, massive disappointment. I just don't see it. I think it's going to be a really big deal. Let me mention one thing, though, while we're here, because I think this is another big kind of a knock against Microsoft. The fact that they had Keanu Reeves at their press conference for Cyberpunk 2077 is fantastic. But it's CD Projekt Red that got Keanu Reeves. It wasn't Microsoft. And I'm not playing this game on a Microsoft console. You know, like, I'm either playing this on PlayStation 4 or on PC, which Microsoft will be happy.
What happens if it comes out? We're going to play it on Game Pass if it comes out day one.
It's not. There's zero chance. Again, I can't imagine that for a second because it's a multi-platform title and everything else. And so, but even then, it would be PC, you know, like, I'm not going to buy an Xbox One to play Cyberpunk 2077 on Game Pass. You know, like, right. It's still a whole lot cheaper to just go pick it up on a PlayStation 4. So the point I was trying to make there, the thing I'm most excited about the Microsoft press conference is a game I'm going to play on a PlayStation. And so I don't know if that's was their exact goal. But because they're there, because they're at E3, they got to capitalize on that. And good for them. They get that hype out of Cyberpunk 2077 and that's great. But it's not a Microsoft game. You're going to be able to play it other places, which for me is fantastic too. But it's hopefully going to be a fantastic game. So anything else on Cyberpunk before we move on? We're hopefully going to see more of it. And so we'll be talking more Cyberpunk during E3, I would imagine.
That's the thing about, you were talking about the lack of gameplay. As cool as that trailer was, there wasn't much to it. Like, nope. There wasn't. We didn't see anything that we hadn't really seen before. So I'm hoping at some point this week we get more of that.
100% agree. Yeah, the trailer was great, but it's, like you said, it's not scenes we've seen before, but it's the same elements we've seen before. The kind of underground nature of this, the cybernetics and, like, crazy blades coming out of dudes' arms and all that stuff, which is super fun. Like, I'll watch more of it. Don't get me wrong, but it's not new. It's not stuff we haven't seen, so. Absolutely right. After that, we got into several indie stuff, most of which coming to Game Pass. There's a game called Spiritfarer that's coming that looks really cool. Battletoads. I know that's one that goes back to our childhood. This has been a really nostalgic E3 for me already, and we'll talk about some of the other ways that it's been nostalgic from a couple other places. But that's one. Like, Battletoads, my goodness, that's my childhood right there. Talking more about Game Pass, you mentioned Metro Exodus, Arkham Knight, also on Game Pass, Hollow Knight, which I'm pretty excited about, Borderlands, the Handsome Collection. So as somebody who hasn't ever really gotten into Borderlands, that's cool as a way to be able to get into Borderlands. And so, yeah. And then, obviously, the PC side of it and Master Chief Collection coming to PC is exciting. So, yeah. Any other thoughts on Game Pass? I know we're moving through stuff quickly now, but that we talked about already, but that's where it popped up in the press conference.
I just want to try it. Like, that they obviously have GUI issues and kind of the way it's set up. Like, when I started to download a game yesterday, it obviously defaults to my C drive, and if I wanted to switch to another drive, I had to go into Windows and tell Windows, this drive is where I want to put apps. So I couldn't tell Game Pass, like I do Steam, put the game here. I had to tell the whole operating system, put stuff here. Which is a pain in the butt.
That is.
So they've got serious stuff that they need to work out, and we're gonna need to play with it for a couple of weeks. But it's not. Don't get it backwards, folks. This is not Steam.
Oh yeah. No, it's a whole different world. There is a workaround to that, or at least what I'm doing so far that's working pretty simply. Is you can just also download the games directly from the Microsoft Store. You don't have to have the Game Pass app, which is cool. They show up as long as you're signed in, as you already you can install and play. It shows you, like, this is part of Game Pass. And when you do it from the Microsoft Store, it pops up with a dialog box that you just click on which drive you want to install to, because I don't install to my C drive either. And so it was literally just a drop-down menu. It was easier than Steam is, which you have to go into Steam in the settings and just put where you want to have your Steam library. That's not hard, and it saves it for you. But this one, literally, like, every time you download, just pops up, where do you want to save it? Which I dig. So, yeah, that's a way around that problem.
That's a whole lot better, because the app does not work that way. So.
Yeah, I haven't even played with the app yet. I need to. But, yeah, you don't have to, apparently. I mean, I've downloaded a game and ran it just a second ago, so I know it works. So and I've got 10 gigs left to download on Sea of Thieves, so we'll maybe get to play with that a little bit as well. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's handy. I like that gigabit internet, even after a storm. It still works. Fantastic. after that, we've got Flight Simulator coming back, which is... Flight Simulator used to be a big thing. Again, like back to our childhood. So I remember like Microsoft Flight Simulator being like a massive thing. It was really pretty. I don't know. I never got into it.
I spent a lot of time on various flight simulators, including that one. And for some reason, I still love to fly. But as I've gotten older, I have no desire to play a flight simulator.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, because I've literally spent hours and hours and hours playing on flight simulators when I was growing up. Right now, I'm just not interested.
Yeah, I agree. But it's pretty.
So...
They showed off Age of Empires 2, the definitive edition. More is coming out this fall. Another one, this is more nostalgic for my college years, but still has that nostalgia factor to it. It's one that I would like to play and probably will play around with some. If it's a Game Pass, I don't remember if it is or not. That would be a great one for Game Pass. I don't know that I would actually spend money on it otherwise, though.
I it's another one of those... Civ type deals. If it's on Game Pass, I'll play it. If not, probably not.
Yep, fair enough. They showed off Wasteland 3, and so now we've got another Wasteland thing here happening, which I haven't really got, but it's in Colorado, which I think is cool. A fun trailer, but again, so little gameplay. It's hard to get hyped about something that I'm not familiar with that you don't show me much gameplay about.
Here's the main problem with all of this, and I think it's going to be a problem E3-wide this year. I think the reason we didn't see a lot of gameplay is that very little of this stuff is this year.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot of it we're talking about 2020 or beyond.
Yep.
And that's hard to do when you're at gaming's biggest showcase, even still. I mean, for E3 to be what it is, it's still gaming's biggest showcase. I mean, it's a week where there's nothing else really out there. And so I took the whole week off, and I'm playing games and watching movies and catching up and just having a good time. It's still gaming's biggest week of the year, and none of this stuff's available for a year, so this is what you get.
Yeah. Next year's E3, with two console launches on the horizon, is going to be a massive thing, I would imagine. This feels like that, like, down year before the big year. Like, it's the transition out of the current console generation, but not quite ready for the next console generation, and so games are just falling in a weird place between those. And yeah, there's just not tons and tons and tons of software, like we've seen over the past 4 or 5 years at E3, where we've just gotten tons and tons and tons of good software. There's a chunk this year, but it's not like it has been. So, next up, we have the big acquisition. I teased a little bit earlier. Xbox Studios has officially acquired Double Fine, which is Tim Schafer's studio, which I didn't see, but it's cool. And they have a new Psychonauts coming out, and so good for them. Like, I don't know, it kind of surprised me, but I'm happy. I think it's a good thing.
And Tim offered to give them whatever they need, productivity software, Windows updates, whatever you need, he's got it.
Yep.
I love that guy.
I do too.
He's so awkward, but I love that guy.
Yes.
And I hope this is a good thing for them.
I do too. Speaking of, I totally forgot one of the best moments of the whole Keanu Reeves thing, who's also wonderfully awkward, kind of that in a different way than Tim Schafer, but like Tim Schafer, off script and whatever. one of the scripted lines for Keanu was about the game being breathtaking. He said something, you know, a line that ended with it, and it's breathtaking. And somebody in the audience yelled out, "You're breathtaking." That was just fabulous. And Keanu replied back, "Of course, you're breathtaking. Everybody's breathtaking." It was great. But afterward, the CD Projekt Red actually gave that dude that yelled out, "You're breathtaking," the like collector's edition of Cyberpunk 2077 when it releases. So random dude randomly said something, gets collector's edition of Cyberpunk 2077. So good on him. That's a good day for that dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Just
that, I did not hear that. That is all, like, I heard him say that.
Right, right.
I thought Keanu's response was totally awesome.
Yeah.
But I did not hear that they did that.
Yep.
That's just cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Just hard to not like everybody all around in that situation. So, moving on, we've got Lego Star Wars coming. We got more Lego coming here in just a second, which is weird. But Lego Star Wars is something we're used to. It's called the Skywalker Saga, and it's all of the movies, all the games of based on all the movies together in a package to be released in 2020, as a lot of the next stuff we're going to talk about is. I wish I got into the Lego games more. I've played several of them for just a little bit, but I've just never been able to get really deep into one of those.
I'll tell you what, if that one is Game Pass, I'll check it out. Yeah. Otherwise, not so much.
Yep. Speaking of a game people are really excited about that I won't check out coming in 2020. There's a new Dragon Ball action RPG called Dragon Ball Kakarot, I assume is how you say it. I don't know. People really, really, really love Dragon Ball. But I was into Dragon Ball 20 years ago. Haven't been as much since then. But in my younger days, again, that nostalgic thing, we got into Dragon Ball Z quite a bit. Still a thing, and I've seen maybe as much hype for this game as I've seen for anything else out of the Microsoft press conference.
I don't understand. Like, one thing that we gotta do before we die is go to Japan.
Yes.
Because I think if we are there, if we're in the middle of the culture, if we have all of this stuff around us, it will be vastly more understandable. But being random white people from the United States, I don't get Dragon Ball at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not my thing either. I know our boy Cabbage is pumped about it, though, so would love to hear more from Cabbage on why Dragon Ball is so exciting. So. They showed off another indie game that's called 12 Minutes. That's like, it looks like it all takes place in like one room. It's this top down thing. It's called an interactive
Groundhog Day, baby.
Yes. That it's very Groundhog Day ish, except does it look funny? But it does look really interesting. Like, it's maybe the game I'm most curious about coming out of their press conference. Just
it looks
weird.
It looks very Heavy Rain.
It does. Yeah, not in style, but in substance. I want to see more of it. So we'll see what happens there. We got another indie game called is Way to the Woods, which is like a mama deer and a baby deer, like traversing the world. I don't know. It looks really cute, and I'll probably play it.
That one goes, that one's for the dad and daughter.
Yes.
Like, that will be in your house for that reason. And if I'm not in your house when that happens, I want video.
Yeah, that's fair. We can do that. Next up, we got Gears 5. Got to see, they talked about new modes. They gave us a trailer, didn't give us really any gameplay. Talked about when they are going to show us stuff. And they had like three different events and times over the summer that they're going to show us stuff leading up to the release date, which is September 10th. And so really not that far away. And that is one that's going to be on Game Pass from day one, which is fantastic. That's really, really cool. I want to love it. I hope I dig it. The fact that they spent so much time talking about modes that I won't play worries me a little bit.
I think we are... We're curmudgeons.
Yes.
I mean, we're old and we're curmudgeons and we don't really care about this multiplayer crap. and that's what it is multiplayer crap. And I feel the same way, not to shift gears because we're talking about Microsoft, but I feel the same way about Doom, which I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They got some multiplayer crap. There's multiplayer crap everywhere, and this is different. This type of stuff is different to me than Apex. It's a different type of deal. It feels tacked on. I don't like it. It's multiplayer crap.
Yeah. It's been successful for Gears in the past, and so I get why they go that direction. I mean, obviously, that's a Microsoft, very Microsoft thing. We've seen that with Halo all the way through as well. And I love playing some Microsoft, Halo back in the day. But yeah, I just want a good story mode at this point in my life. And I'm hoping Gears 5, it will be, testosterone and everything else. Even with a female lead, it's still going to be, testosterone filled. They're trying to make it more emotional. I think it's still going to be a lot of chainsaw bayonet kind of stuff. And so I'll play it, especially because it's on Game Pass. That makes it worth it. So easy enough. There's also Terminator DLC coming to it, like the Terminator, which is weird to me. That's not a crossover that I need.
Well, I'm just wondering if Linda Hamilton or Arnold is going to show up at some point.
Can you imagine if they brought out both Keanu Reeves and Arnold in the same press event? That would have been fantastic.
That's it. It's over. Goodbye.
It would have been like 90s forever. Like the 90s are coming into style right now. Like it's we're to the age where like our childhood is now retro and trendy. And so like all this stuff from the 90s is coming back. It will be coming back more over the next few years. Hey, Arnold and Keanu are very, very 90s.
Have you seen the new trailer for the Terminator?
I've seen just a little bit of it. Like a little teaser or something.
Tell me, is that original Sarah Connor?
I don't know.
See, that's what I want to know. I couldn't decide if that's her or not.
Yeah.
Is that her? Is that, Terminator 1 and 2 Sarah Connor? That's what I want to know.
Yep.
I couldn't tell if it was that original actress or if it was some other lady.
I've been so out on Terminator for so long. I haven't seen. I'm trying to think if I've even seen anything. I'm sure. Was it just Terminator 3, or was there some other crazy name?
There's one other one, and that's it. So you're not that far behind.
There's more than one other one, isn't there? Because there was one. There's one newer one with Arnold before this one that's coming out. And there's one before that didn't have Arnold in it. And yeah, I don't know. Genesis.
The one that you're thinking about is Genesis. I don't know about anymore. But I don't know if she was in Genesis, but I can't figure out if this is her or not. It's weird, but if it's her, then I'm probably going to go see it. If it's not, then maybe probably not.
Yeah. But Terminator 2 is one of the best action movies of all time.
I don't know why that actress matters, but it does.
Yeah.
She's Connor. Sarah Connor.
By the way, there is Terminator 3. It came out in 2003 called Rise of Machines.
Yeah.
I did see that one.
Right.
And then there was Terminator Salvation, Terminator Genesis, which was the one with Arnold back in it, right? I don't think he was in Salvation. And then Terminator Dark Fate is the new one that's coming up. So,
right.
Good times. That was off topic, but they brought up the Terminator, so we had to talk about the Terminator. Let's see what else. We're getting a new Xbox Elite controller. okay. Dying Light had a trailer. Was a perfectly fine trailer. Didn't see any gameplay.
I want to play those.
Those look cool.
Really good.
Yeah, but I would have loved to see some gameplay.
Yes.
Forza is getting a Lego mode, which is not something that I feel like. Those just don't feel like overlapping audiences to me. Like people who play Lego games and people who play Forza, maybe there's more overlap there than I think. But they did have a McLaren on stage made out of Legos, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know. The only thing I can figure out is that the Forza people who play Forza, not the people making Forza, the people that play Forza smoke a lot of weed. and then the Lego part of it totally makes sense.
Fair enough.
After you've had some weed and you feel pretty good, then I totally get it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, not so much.
Yeah, otherwise, fairly strange. So, we're getting the Gears of War pop game we saw last year. They showed a little bit of that again. Still don't really get whatever. Like Gears of War with the funny little pop toys, whatever. State of Decay 2, new stuff coming on Game Pass. Cool.
Yes.
Phantasy Star Online 2.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Not my deal, but a big deal.
It's not. I see. That's the thing. I don't know that it's not our deal. This is one of those that is up in the air for me. That if it is that old school RPG thing, which I think it is, I could see getting involved.
Yeah.
I don't know how much, but I could see getting involved. And the interesting thing to me about this is that I watched a little bit of the GameSpot coverage after the show, and they said that during this there were people standing up and literally crying because Phantasy Star was so good. And they had played it other places, but they couldn't play it here. I'm intrigued by it. I don't know that it's not our deal.
Fair enough. It's a big deal, regardless of if it's our deal or not. It's something like Pokemon. That's not our deal, but we can admit that it's a big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal, and we'll see where it goes from there. Another thing that apparently is a big deal that I'd never heard of before is this thing called Crossfire, which is this online game developed by Smilegate that now Microsoft is partnering with, and I don't know. There's apparently a big, massive fan base for these guys out there already, and so, okay. But I didn't know anything about it when they were talking about it. It's not something that really piqued my interest.
Now, I mean,
yeah,
it's something I'll play for 10 minutes, but other than that, probably not, you know.
Then we get back to JRPG world again with Tales of Arise, another in the now very long Tales series franchise, whatever it is. This is my problem with a JRPG at this point, is that they're so time intensive that as much as like I love them and grew up with them or whatever, like I want to be excited about it, I want to have time for it, I'm just going to put time towards other things. I don't see myself playing it as much as I would. If, you know, in a perfect world, if I just only played video games with my time, I could get to it. But I just don't see it happening.
This is another one of those things to add to the list. If we ever get to do this full time, we have to mess around with the Tales series.
Yeah.
The Tales series is a big deal.
Yeah.
And they are really good.
Yeah.
It's just, like you said, it's about the time.
Again, going back to nostalgia, this is another game in college that I played because it was a JRPG, which, you know, me and my buddies that were in high school together, we went to college together, we played JRPGs all the time. it was one of those that had kind of a kind of multiplayer type mode to it, in that the battles, it was kind of an action battle system, but you could have, you know, a couple of other people controlling other characters, and so we would play the game together, and every time you get into a battle, like, everybody picks up a controller and can, you know, do stuff, and then not during battles, one person is like leading and walking around. So we just swap off controllers, which we did with JRPGs anyway. Like, I played Final Fantasy VII that way with two of my buddies, and we just passed the controller around. But this is one, even with pass the controller around, you still got to play together at times too. And so I have fond memories of the franchise, just in my elder years. It just isn't what it was when I was young.
And like I said, I want so much for video games to be a bigger part of what we do on a daily basis. And I know you do too.
Sure.
And it's just about how to get there. And this is one of those things.
Be cool if we could. Borderlands, yeah. Another one in that category. We got some a new look at Borderlands 3. We also got details about some more Borderlands 2 DLC. And so that's a game that I know people that are so obsessed with that I've just not played at this point, and apparently should.
Duff! Borderlands is definitely a Duff game. You and I suck at Borderlands. I need to play more in single player because it really, really is awesome. Borderlands 3 is coming. I wouldn't be surprised. Well, maybe not. But I'd really like it if it was a Game Pass game.
Yeah, that would be cool. Probably not, but it would be cool. And then we got one more kind of game announcement really quick here, and then we've got one more big game to talk about, but we've got their other newsy stuff in between there. The big game announcement that's leaked a couple of days before, but still, we knew it was coming. It's still exciting. Is the George R.R. Martin, of course, of Game of Thrones authorship fame and From Software's collaboration. It's a game called Elden Ring. Didn't really see much of it. It's really just a teaser trailer. You get a very good sense of, like, George R. R. Martin meets From Software. Like, it feels exactly like you would think that that mashup would. But I'm really excited about it because George R. R. Martin obviously can tell a story, and From Software can obviously design a game. And so it has potential to be a massively cool thing. I'm just disappointed we didn't see more of it other than just this kind of teaser thing. I don't know any details about the game, and I want to know more.
What I want to know is, what's the over-under on naked people?
Yeah. Has to be, you know, a good 100 or so, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to happen that guy.
Broke down like all of the sex scenes in Game of Thrones, and like how much, like how many times there was full frontal female nudity, how many times there was full frontal male nudity, and so on and so forth. It's just staggering. It's ridiculous. So yeah, you'd imagine it's going to show up there. It wouldn't be George R. R. Martin otherwise. So yeah, I'm excited about it. I hope that's one we see maybe a little bit more of at E3. I don't know that we will, but it'd be cool if we did.
Absolutely.
Then we get into the not game news stuff. Kind of two big things to talk about. The first one is Project xCloud, which Phil came out and talked about a bit. Mentioned that it's coming this year. It's coming this fall. And so we'll be coming right around the same time as Stadia, which is interesting. Those things will be coexisting. Talked about that it will function with the current Xbox One. And so this kind of hybrid approach to streaming games will work on the Xbox One. Not, I think, a big surprise there, but worth noting. But it will also obviously work on other platforms as well. Even so far as the way I understood it when he was talking about it, that you can either stream games from the cloud, obviously, or you can set up your own Xbox as a streaming server that you can just stream from your Xbox wherever you go. And that's cool too. Again, not brand new technology or idea, but if they're using their infrastructure that works decently well, could be could be nice. And so that's the idea behind xCloud. They didn't give us really any details about it, though, and so don't have any idea of what the tie-in with Game Pass is going to be, what the cost is going to be, all that kind of stuff. And so lots of details still needed before we get a good idea of what xCloud is. I left the Stadia thing with some questions, but I know a whole lot more about Stadia than I know about xCloud.
Yeah, and I think the reason why for that is because they don't know yet.
I think that's probably fair. And it's really, I feel like it's probably going to be a soft launch right now, that they're really pushing for it for the next console, which we'll talk about here in just a second. So they're like rolling it out right now. I don't think they're probably going to make a huge, massive deal of, and then they're going to do a kind of relaunch in a year that's going to really be tied into the new console.
And I feel like Game Pass for the seat for PC is in the same zone because they slapped a beta on it. I have this sort of fear that if not enough PC players adopt that, which I don't know why they wouldn't, it's slapped as a beta now. It has potential that it could go away.
Yeah.
And I think xCloud is kind of in that same boat. Not that it's going to go away, but just that they're really unsure.
Yeah. It's a good way to try it out, just to see what happens with it, see how people respond to it and that kind of stuff. And so I get it. I just want some more details, and so hopefully we'll get those details soon. And then Phil talked about the next-gen Xbox, which right now is still called Project Scarlet. I'm going to be really honest. I don't hate the name Scarlet. If they keep the just Xbox Scarlet, I'd be okay with that. I imagine they're going to come up with a worse name for it. But at this point, it's still Project Scarlet. We didn't get a final name. We didn't get a release date, but we got a release window. It's going to be holiday next year, and that's not a surprise. Talked about that it's going to be 4 times more powerful than the current Xbox One X. It's going to do ray tracing. It's going to have an SSD. It's going to be backwards compatible, and so on and so forth. And so it is what we thought it was at this point. Like, I don't think there's any big surprises there. That's not a bad thing. I'm excited about what it is. But there wasn't anything outside of our current expectations. And there wasn't any talk at this point about the 2-console approach, which again would be the kind of hybrid streaming console or the completely local powerhouse console. All they're talking about at this point is one powerhouse console, and so maybe their plan is, and this is getting into the kind of talking about what Sony's planning too, maybe their plan is just keep the Xbox One as the kind of hybrid thing, because they talked about that in context of xCloud, and so to just extend the life cycle of the Xbox One by making it the streaming box and making the new Xbox the new powerhouse box. Because theoretically, if you're streaming games, you can run whatever those Scarlet titles are on your Xbox One X, because it's off the cloud, and so you still got that local processing power to provide some support with it. I don't know. That's my speculation on it. Nothing shocking, but good to hear. I mean, it's nice to hear that the console's in the works and is coming and all that good stuff.
That's a very interesting thought. But again, like xCloud and Game Pass for PC, I think the reason they didn't say anything is because they don't know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of this is going to depend on what Stadia does.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the Google was very smart to be the first one out, but if it flops or doesn't work well, then everybody else is going to go, okay, we can't do that. We got to do something else. And so Microsoft is being very, very vague because they're waiting to see. And I think that's okay.
Yeah, I do too. I disagree a little bit. We're going to streaming. We'll talk about Bethesda. Bethesda's got their own streaming thing that they're working
on
too.
I'm not saying that we're not going to streaming. What I'm saying is we don't know what's gonna work yet. Because like the Bethesda's deal is different than Stadia tech-wise.
Yes.
And, like, we're going there. We just don't know how.
Yes. And so everybody's being a little bit cautious in how they roll out their plans of getting there. So they can adjust, which we'll see with Sony, too. I would be shocked if we don't see something from Sony that's similar to that. We already have something from Sony that's similar to this. And so, again, all this stuff's out there. And maybe my biggest takeaway so far with Project Scarlet and of what we know about the PlayStation 5 is that they're basically the same thing. That there's, like, what Microsoft bragged about, what Phil talked about, was the fact that it has a solid-state drive and that you're going to be able to load stuff on that and won't have loading times, and that that's going to be a great part of this whole thing, is that it's just going to be instantaneous gaming. And it's the exact same thing we've heard from Sony. Like, take out the names and you wouldn't be able to tell, you know, who was speaking about which console, because so far they're darn near identical. And so it's going to be interesting to see what one of them does to try to set it apart. We know that Microsoft has this Project xCloud thing that they're working on. I don't know that that'll be the thing that they use to try to set it apart. We know that Sony has PlayStation VR. I don't know that that's going to be a thing that they're going to use to try to set the PlayStation 5 apart. What they do separately still feels fairly minor in the context of what they do the same. And at the end of the day, it looks very similar. One plus to Microsoft is Game Pass. That's obviously one thing that they're doing. The games as a service thing in a way that I think makes a lot of sense for a lot of gamers. Sony doesn't have yet. I would be shocked if we don't hear Sony's kind of answer to Game Pass this year on a bigger scale. They have a much smaller kind of version of that, but something that's got more of their current stuff and these day one releases and that kind of stuff. I think we're going to be seeing that from Sony very, very soon.
What if that happens? What are we willing to... This is not the Sony show, but just something.
We don't have a Sony show, so might as well bring it up.
If that happens, what is the price that we are willing to pay? Because we're paying for Game Pass. I'm paying for the EA Vault at least for another year. If Sony has this thing, what's the price we are willing to pay for all this stuff? Like,
I honestly think the Microsoft, like, $15 a month for Xbox Live and Game Pass combo, I think I'd pay that for PlayStation Network and whatever their kind of similar thing is, PlayStation Now or whatever, if they turn that into a Games Pass type service or whatever. I think that number makes sense, and I would continue to pay $5 a month for Game Pass on PC and wouldn't still have a need for an Xbox, because those games that I want to play from Microsoft would be available on PC, and especially with xCloud. If that works well and I can play first party Microsoft stuff on that, and it's a similar experience that I had with Project Stream, now Stadia, I still don't have a reason that I need to buy an Xbox. And so I would be fine with that. I think that $15 a month is kind of a logical price point.
So, let's think about this. We're assuming that we're not going to absolutely have to have Live on the PC. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think we're going to have to, like, dole out some more money to get Live to be able to do everything we need to do. So... We're looking at 30 a month plus whatever else we're paying for, and that's two services, and that's a lot of games.
Yes.
Like, that's a lot of games, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And
I would happily drop EA at that point. Like, if I have to start budgeting out, you know, who I'm going to pay for, who I'm not going to pay for. EA is great to have, and it's cheap, and it's but the more that people are doing this, the more that obviously and this is maybe on that point, maybe the more that people are doing this, the more we're going to start seeing consolidation of, you know, EA going, okay, well, there's a big audience for, you know, Game Pass and for PlayStation's thing, so maybe we should just migrate our games over there and get, you know, a kickback from those services that may be more than what they're making off of Access Origins, whatever. I don't know, but I would imagine that we will see some consolidation at some point. Although, right now, if you look at it on, like, movies and TV side of things, we're seeing everybody breaking out to do their own service. And so, you know, Disney's doing their own thing. And so, all the MCU stuff's going to go off Netflix at some point. NBC's doing their own thing. The most watched thing on Netflix consistently is The Office, and there's a good chance that they'll pull that off Netflix to put it on their own server. And so, yeah, maybe they don't. Maybe we just have a billion different services, and you pick, like, month to month which one you're going to pay for based off of what you want to play.
And I hate that idea.
I do too.
I hate that. Like, the thing with games as a service that I think people need to focus on is how can I get the most value for my money? Because I'm really excited about Game Pass right now. But if I start using it and I have issues, or there are the games that I really, 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 really want to play just aren't there, like, I'm gonna make an adjustment, and I'm not gonna hesitate to turn it off, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna do this games as service thing, you gotta find a value wise way to keep people invested.
Yes.
And that's gonna be the issue for these companies, I think.
Agreed. Yeah. That's a big, big question mark. So. Just to wrap up with Microsoft, some kind of final thoughts about what we've seen from Microsoft the past several years versus what we've seen this year, and how I think they're getting just some benefit of the doubt of not having Sony here, like that they just are kind of getting to be their own thing because they don't have this other company that's doing a similar thing. But the complaints that we've had about Microsoft press conferences for the past 3 or 4 years, I don't see how this press conference changed any of those significantly.
No.
That the software that they showed, most of it is going to be multi-platform. We didn't talk about Halo, so there was Halo right at the end. They showed a new teaser for Halo Infinite, gave us a little bit more kind of story, visuals, that kind of stuff. It's pretty. Didn't show us any gameplay or anything like that. Also, it's going to be a launch title for Project Scarlet. No shocker there. But outside of Halo and Gears and a bunch of their indie stuff, that's cool, and I'm excited about and thrilled about Game Pass and everything else. The game I'm most excited from the whole stinking thing is Cyberpunk. That's I'm going to play somewhere else, you know? And there's a bunch of games that they showed that are great-looking games that are going to be on PlayStation or PC or Switch or whatever. And so they still have yet to give me a reason that I need to buy an Xbox. I just, like, it's great. I love the tech. I think it's fantastic. I have a reason I need to buy a PlayStation. You know, like, there's a reason I'm going to need to get a PlayStation 5. The games I want to play aren't on the Xbox. They're on the PlayStation or they're multi-platform. And so, yeah, I just still don't see where, for me, and I feel for us, that Microsoft's convinced us that we need to change that.
And I think, maybe wrong, but I think that they realize that. And that's what the deal is with Game Pass. Like, okay, if you're not going to buy the hardware, here's our software. Will you pay for it this way?
Yeah.
It's like everything else. I don't know that they're really that concerned with selling hardware because they don't make money on hardware anyway.
It's fair.
So they're thinking, we got to find a way to sell software. I may be totally wrong, but I think that's why they're doing what they're doing with Game Pass, is they realize there's a lot of people that really just don't need the Xbox. And the thing about that is, I was going to tell you, when we got off the air, put in your backpack for when you're in my house later this week, an Xbox controller. Because I am hesitant about the fact that these quote-unquote PC titles will actually be playable
sure.
on a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll throw that in there. I really feel like Microsoft understands that not everybody needs their hardware and is trying to figure out what to do about it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on that point. I think that's a really astute observation that the future of gaming isn't in hardware. But we thought that this console generation we're in right now might have been the last hardware console generation. It's not, obviously, both Microsoft and Xbox working on new, big, powerful consoles. And so there's going to be more. But the gaming populace is going to be moving away from hardware more and more as there's other ways to access these games. And thus, hardware may continue, but it's going to become more niche and niche for people who like having that powerhouse thing in their house. And so Microsoft is wise to focus on how they're going to set up the service economy of gaming. And so far, they've done a good job. Not perfect, but they've done a good job with Game Pass. And so they're more established at this point than Sony or Nintendo either are in that realm. And I think that benefits them a ton.
Who this pays off for is NVIDIA and AMD, because I think there's a lot more people going to be upgrading and using their hardware than Sony and Microsoft because of the way things are going.
I don't think that. I think that will still be niche too. Maybe they get a little bump, but it's going to be streaming stuff. You know, it's going to be playing it on your iPad or whatever. And yeah, whatever it is, it's not going to be as hardware focused as it has been historically. And again, I think Microsoft's aware of that. Like you said, they know, they could see what's coming, and so. Yeah, we're going to hear more and more about that as we go. Absolutely. Just by the way, I'm playing Sea of Thieves. Works just fine.
Fantastic.
With Wiz43 and Torby Games right now, so didn't have to pay anything extra to do that.
Awesome.
Yep, I dig it.
Good.
I don't know if it's going
to
stay that way, but it's that way right now.
Well, the other thing we did not mention is do not get cloud saves without live.
Yes.
So that's I'm not gonna pay for live just for that, but
right.
That's definitely something that we've gotten used to with Steam, that is not there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, cool. Yeah.
But Game Pass works great. Love it. it's random, but it's there. So that's the Microsoft show. That's probably going to be the one that takes us the longest time to talk about, because it's probably going to be the newsiest of any of these. I thought it was good. Maybe not great, but solid.
Very solid. Better than in previous years. They still have issues. Not markedly better, but definitely better.
Yeah, Game Pass is moving in the right direction. I think for both of us, that was the thing that we took away from this and went, ooh, Game Pass on PC, like, that's a huge deal. We're really happy about that. So
yeah,
they absolutely win because of that. And Keanu Reeves, because Keanu Reeves is cool. It was really fun seeing Keanu at the Microsoft press conference. So good times.
And thank you, Cabbage, for the best quote of the day yesterday, which was just Keanu wins. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's
done.
Very cool.
We do have more content coming, obviously. We have the Bethesda show we got to talk about, which will be interesting. That was interesting. We have Devolver, which will also be interesting.
I got to find that because I only saw the last 5 minutes, and it was only 15 minutes long, but it is weird and freaky
Freaky. Very, very strange. And then today we have so we're recording this on Monday morning. We have the PC show, we've got the Ubi show, we've got the Square show, and so lots happening today. And then, of course, tomorrow we've got Nintendo. So, God willing, and the power stays on, we've got more content coming for you soon. So, yeah, stick around.
Stick around, and you know where to find us. We say this every show, but please check us out on social media. Facebook page is hopping. Please let us know what you want to see, what you want to hear about. For now, this has been Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2019. It's the Electronics Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.